Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Isaiah chapter 61. That's in the Old Testament. Large book, 66 chapters there. In Isaiah. Amen. Some folks call it the kind of the Bible, and that correlates with all the different chapters there. That's not our subject today. We have been focused on our country, and I will say for our church, we are unashamedly patriotic here. We love our nation, and any excuse to have red, white, and blue, we'll do it. Amen. And we decided to really, we've been patriots for a long time at the school and all the different things that we can lay out there. But I'll just say thank you. I didn't have you men stand that have served our country and ladies in our armed forces, but I just want to say thank you to you today. It is it's a holiday that all of us can share, but we share that because of the blood of patriots, amen, and God getting involved in the conflict in our early days and really just raising up a nation that would give us religious freedom. And there's so many things that we could say about the day, but it's just a blessing to be an American, to know that we have inalienable rights. And I want to kind of balance some things, but Isaiah 61 is a place not too long ago. Many of you may not remember it, but I preached out of this passage of scripture, so don't be afraid that I'm going to preach the same message. I preach primarily out of verse number 3, but I want to preach here out of the chapter today and call your attention to some things, because the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, it's recorded that he opens the book of Isaiah and he reads this chapter and he reads along. He gets to the place where he is personally proclaiming liberty, but when it comes to judgment, he closes or stops the reading because it wasn't time for judgment to come. We preached recently, and just let you know that I preached not too long ago about our nation, and is this the end, the beginning of the end? And for all of us, we realize and can see all the things going on in the world. Russia hasn't stopped. It's still shooting missiles, and it's really doubled down on its attack of the Ukraine. The world is in turmoil, and so many things are happening. And when we see those things, the Bible tells us to look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. And for all of us, we ought to understand that there are things happening in the world that are completely correlated with the Bible. We know they're going to happen. And you say, is it going to be today? Well, since the time of Paul and the apostles, they've been looking for Jesus to come. But we've got so many more signs that we see have been checked off the box, and things that are right on the cusp and times of what could come, and Jesus coming again and catching away his church. And so this morning, I just want to kind of speak to you about, kind of tie some of those things together. But as Christians, we ought to have some focus of what the Bible says, not only to the Jew, but to us. And this is primarily written to the Jew in the end times, but I want to make it a New Testament application for us, and that maybe you can take it home with you today. But I also want to speak to you a little bit about some patriotism and tie it all together. And I hope I can do that in a timely fashion and get you out before your stomach starts craving lunch way too much. So having said all that, I would love for you, hopefully you found the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. And I want to pray before I begin reading, but the title for the tape room today is Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for being born and raised in this country. God, I thank you for the privilege that it is to be here. Lord, I thank you for so many that have made the move and they've become citizens. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here today that have served our country. Thank you for their service, Lord. Thank you for those that have served you, Lord, through the church and the ministry here as soldiers of the cross. And God, I pray that here, Lord, as we seek your will and that your will would be done, I pray that you would use me as your messenger, boy, to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ from your word today. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah 61, in verse number 1, we find that reading that Jesus made in verse number 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day. Look, he stopped reading right there, and then it continued. Listen, the passage continues on, but this is future. Jesus was here to do all those things, to proclaim all these things, and then judgment comes, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. I preached on this verse recently, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, the beginning of the chapter and all that will follow it is really millennial kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and much is said to the Jew about things that are coming and things that they will do. But then I want to jump to the back end of the chapter, and I want you to read with me the last two verses of the chapter and see here as God, he talks about the planting of these trees in a garden. Now, I want you to understand, we don't think about a garden as a planting of trees. We thinking about it as every season, but God is so much bigger than we are. And when he plants a garden, he's talking about, now you may have a few fruit trees. We are in Florida, so maybe we plant more things like that. But again, the Garden of Eden was full of trees. It had herbs just like you grow and all these different things. But sometimes we think small things when we think a garden, because we're thinking a box or a bucket and we're just growing a tomato. But when God thinks of things, he's thinking things not just short term and every season, but year after year after year. And for all of us, I want you to see that. And when he talks about these trees that are going to be grown up from verse 3, he finishes that thought in the last verse of the chapter. Look at verse 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And this is, again, the writer, Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into all the world is that God might be praised. And I want to just submit to you today that a sinful people, a group of people who are lost in their sins, don't typically raise praise to a holy God. They worship oftentimes themselves. And what is wrong with our country today is in our school system, the public school system is primarily teaching the young people, and I've told you my disdain for this term, but it grows ever more, you do you. We have the argument, and thank God there's some balance and some sense coming to the world about, you know, this idea of guys participating in girls' sports. It's foolishness. If it was truly, and we were all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, how come we don't see a bunch of girls jumping into guys' sports? Because they can't beat the guys. Why are these pack of guys going to play with the girls on the girls' team? Because they can't compete with the guys. Not because of what they want to do with gender or their ideology. It's because they can't win a medal on the other side of the fence. And you say, preacher, why are you getting after that? I'm just telling you, it's stupidity. To begin to think that things in the laws of nature and nature's God, do you know that that was right in the beginning of our you know, Declaration of Independence? Wouldn't it do good, instead of teaching our kids in public school to worship themselves and humanism, it'd be good to teach them the founding fathers' documents? And when we decided to separate ourselves from all the other nations, they began to talk about the reason they had to do that was because of the laws of nature and nature's God, that the Creator had made all men equal. That means we are all born and created by a Creator. You say, preacher, why are you getting that? Because what a blessing it is to know that God made me and that he didn't make a mistake when he made me. He made me who he wanted me to be. And it's not within, listen, the laws of nature, a guy can never be a girl and a girl can never be a guy. You say, preacher, I thought you were talking politically and loving our country. I do. And one of the things that is really spinning out of control in this world today is the ideology that anyone can be whatever they want. Whatever happened to the days of old where people aspired to be something instead of trying to be something that they're not? I want to be, how about this? I want to be an American. Do you know that even the song that happened before, people aspired to come through our nations and they would ride boat rides and come by a lady with a torch. And they would come by then, they would aspire to put their name down and a nation would welcome them with open arms and tell them that we were the land of opportunity. The problem that we have today is we don't try to let people come in the same way. We don't give them the same opportunity. You say, preacher, what do you do? Well, it's not the same. Do you know that even back then in the early days, they took everybody's name down. You can go to that place and you can hunt up your relatives and where they came from because they kept everybody's name. They didn't open the fences and let everybody in and let's say, go be, you do you. That's the mentality of this world. Instead of coming in, why are you coming here? What are you seeking when you come? Do you know that that matters? You know, when you come to church, it matters what you're seeking, what you're trying to pursue, what you want. Our nation was foundationally, purposefully given so that we could pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want to give you some things, and this is going to be an unusual message this morning, but I want to read to you the Declaration of Independence because I do think many people have gone through school, or at least we don't read the things that are our founding documents. I'm not going to read the entire thing because you don't have time for that. I would have time for that, but you don't have time for that because your stomach is growling already. But it begins in this, and oftentimes when it's quoted or put on the internet, they misquote it and they miss the beginning statement because it's in bold letters and they exempt it like it's some kind of title, but it's actually part of the text. And this wasn't some fly-by-night thing. It said by unanimous declaration of the 13 United States. It doesn't say the 13 separated colonies. It said 13 states that had bound themselves together with their solemn honor. And men that wrote down that their life was not precious to them, but that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was precious. That it was a God-given right, and that they were willing to declare their separation from a foreign state or one that they once called home so that they could create a nation where people could pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It reads this, the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, nature's God, entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the courses which impel them to the separation. Now, I don't know if you understand what you just read or I just read to you, but they said to the king that we're declaring our independence from you because there are some problems. When in the course of human events, when it comes to the place where you have someone who is oppressing, who doesn't give the things that need to be given, they go to this point where they said they have to sever. They're going to separate and become an equal station to the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. Do you know that they made a statement that they believe God was in their separating from Great Britain and choosing to become the United States? That it was part of their inalienable rights when that those rights were trampled upon, that they had the right under nature and nature's God to separate from that place and to create a brand new nation. He says that it was that these they should declare the causes. They said that, but we do have respect for you, King, and we're going to tell you why. Why would that be important? It would help him so that nobody else separated off from him. Maybe he could rectify some of these things, but we're not staying around. We stayed around long enough and you still didn't change them, so we're leaving. And he comes to the second paragraph, if you would, and he says, we hold these truths. This is what most people quote, and I want you to pick it up, and then we misuse them in today's world. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Do you believe that most Americans hold these truths to be self-evident? We don't teach them in our public school system anymore. That all men are created equal. Now, that they take that word equal and they want equality for everyone's ideas, not their creation. All right, I'm moving on. That they are endowed by their creator. That means that they were created the way God wanted them. Look at this. With certain unalienable rights. That means that they're rights that no government can take from you. That nature and nature's God, the creator of all men, gave to all men the inalienable rights, that among these are life. Do you know who gave you life? It was not the government. There's no government on earth that even claims that they give life to every person born. Now, we even in our country, you know, we've gotten a little bit silly about land, and the government thinks it owns all the property and it rents it to us. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just try not paying your taxes and see what they do with your land. All right, I just want you to understand that. But again, we're way better in a lot of places because they don't believe in these three simple things, life, that God gives life. It's granted by Almighty God, and it's given to you, and that there ought to be a right to that. Why does our church stand up against abortion? Because we believe in not only the Constitution, but the Word of God, that God has given the inalienable right to every person when their heart begins to beat, that they have the right to life. Do you know there's a bunch of people under that statement, the right to life, that women believe they have the choice to take life so that they can have one? God help us. The founding fathers would roll over in their grave if they ever thought that a Supreme Court, that on the very doors going into that place, do you know how many times that the Ten Commandments are echoed and echoed and echoed inside the Supreme Court before you get in the front of the doors and go up the steps? Right in the middle, all these different lawgivers from all of history are on there, and right in the middle is Moses. Or at least what they thought he looked like. You go in the doors, and in just the foyer, the Ten Commandments are on the wall. Two massive doors before you go into the chambers of the justices, and on those two massive doors are carved the Ten Commandments. You say, oh yeah, we're not a nation founded upon God or His Word. Oh yes, we are, folks. Life and liberty. What is liberty? We simply blow it off like it's freedom, but liberty is such a word that carries on natural liberties. Do you know we have natural liberties, civil liberties? I thank God for religious liberty in this country. Not everybody has that. How about soul liberty? You know that's something the government can't give you. That's something given you by God. Natural liberty means I'm not a robot. I have free will. I have free will to choose. I had free will to do whether I was going to come here today or whether I wasn't. You had the same free will. Whether I was going to be obedient to God, whether I was going to worship and take the freedom that I have of religious liberty in this country today, and I was going to exercise it or whether I wasn't. Soul liberty means that I don't have to have anybody between me and God, that I have the ability to have a relationship with God myself. Do you know that not every religion believes that? Not every country believes that. Religious liberty, when it's severed away from the people, means that they choose what way you will worship God, and they will thrust it upon you. Do you know England was doing that during that time period? They were having experiments with certain colonies there in what we now know as the United States, and they gave a few of them religious liberty to see how it went. You know how it went? It moved into revolution. A few people realized what God had given and what everyone could have. It was during those times of revolution that men were beaten because they were Baptist pastors and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in places that it was illegal, not just unpopular. Stories of preachers preaching, their congregation would come to the outside of the jail and they would preach through the bars. And every Sunday, their congregation would show up for the preaching. So if they lock me up for preaching, y'all coming down to the jailhouse to hear me preach? Amen. I'm just telling you, I mean, we come to that day and age where, listen, those are the folks that stood against tyranny and stood up and created what we know as the United States because they believed in God and God took them by their word and they took God by his word and they stood together against the greatest military power of all the world. And what we have today is something that's not, nobody else has the same thing we have today. Why it's special is because people were willing to give their life for liberty. And by the way, that liberty is freedom to choose, but to pursue. Do you know, I mean, we miss this. Look at what it says here. He says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that pursuit of happiness, I went to happiness. The word happiness is defined in the 1828 dictionary as this: the agreeable sensation which springs forth from the enjoyment of good. You know, happiness is not derived from doing evil or doing something that would be immoral. You can't define it. Now, people think that that's stuff that makes them happy. But that, according to the definition of the very word, happiness has to spring forth from doing good. I would submit to you that joy is something that only God can give, but happiness is something that we feel when we do what God tells us to do. Because we're not in danger of being judged for it. Do you know that much of the Bible is all about, and even this one here was about a time where God was giving blessings and that there was a time that would come that there would be judgment of God? All of us are moving towards that. All of us realize that there, I mean, even the lost world realizes that God cannot continue to let the world move on like it is, that one day judgment will fall. And everybody's making movies. They think it's going to be an asteroid. They think it's going to be, I mean, you know, aliens. They think, I mean, you could go through all the different things that they list off, and I'll just be honest with you, it's going to be a lot of those things. And they didn't all imagine them up. Some of them got it from the Bible. Can I submit to you? Listen, there's going to be an asteroid that hits the earth. He said, tomorrow? No. It could be. But according to the Bible, the name of it is Wormwood. It happens during the tribulation period. And for us to act like believers and we don't study the Bible and have an understanding, that's happening. Now, when, what's the date, what's the time, I don't know. But I mean, NASA cares enough to track them. And they've already told us, you know, we are oblivious. There's at least two or three that they're tracking that they say is going to hit us. And they give it time. But we just move along and we only read the headlines and we only believe what the news tells us about what's in this bill. President's touting this bill. You say, do you like it? I read some of it. I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. There's some good things and there's some bad things. There's some stuff in there that you say, well, why is it? Well, it wasn't just the president's bill. You know, they put something forth and what do? They go cut it, slice it, and compromise on it until they finally get something passed. You say, preacher, why are you getting on us? I'm telling you, because the pursuit of happiness is not pursuing politics. The pursuit of happiness is not pursuing, listen, can I just share with you today? It's not pursuing evil or immoral things that are lasting for just a moment. The pursuit of happiness is pursuing good. You say, what is good? I'm talking about thinking this way. It says to that they, listen, this is what government's purpose is. According to our Declaration of Independence and according to the Word of God, it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. It says that government gets its authority directly from those people who live in that country. And that its sole purpose, or it's to secure these rights, governments are instituted to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why? Because people that are trying to do good, people who are evil will try to stop people from doing good. They will try to stop you from living a good life, doing right. You say, why? Yes, even in a country like ours, a free one, do you know that there are people in government who think their job is to stop the church, to tax the church, to hurt the church? You say, I don't believe that. Well, you ain't been around here very long. You ain't been in church very long to realize that, listen, they're out for themselves and they're not out for those that are trying to do good. It goes on, it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect. This is the government's purpose, to affect their safety and their happiness. Do you know that the only, out of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the one that we think the least of, and I was reading through this the other day, and I thought to myself, the only of those three things that are repeated in the Declaration of Independence is happiness. Because life is given to us by God, and listen, it will end when God chooses it to. Liberty is something that not everyone, we are granted it naturally as a, we're not a robot, no matter whether people take our freedom of religion or civil government, even if we're shackled, we still have a choice on whom to believe in. Whether we're going to reject God or accept Him. Do you know that everybody, your free liberty, the soul liberty before God is something that is God-given and cannot be taken from you. But happiness is something that every one of us, think about this, when these men gathered in this place, they knew that this would probably not happen in their lifetime and that many of them would give their life in the pursuit of a country where people could pursue happiness. Can I just tell you, I just want you to understand this morning, many of those men realized they would give life and liberty. Many of them were jailed and then killed for signing that document. But they did that for the pursuit of happiness, for those that would come after them, for their children and their children's children. They gave of themselves. That's what birthed this country. And God believing and putting behind believers that set apart, that believed in Him. You say, preacher, why'd you say all those things? Because I believe without a doubt, listen, the pursuit of happiness is something that we've lost in this country. We believe the pursuit of happiness is pursuing what we want. It is pursuing whatever we think is good. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the measuring stick for all of man and all goodness is this book. If this book says it's bad, it's bad. If this book says it's good, it's good. And it's something that we can pursue and is profitable for not only you and I, but it's something that would be profitable for us and it will glorify God when we have the end of it. I want you to see this verse and put it in perspective with all that I've said about our Declaration of Independence and all this. Look at verse number 10 in chapter 61. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. It sounds a lot like happiness to me. Who am I going to make my point of reference? Who am I going to make the thing that makes me happy? I want a joy and glory in the Lord. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Do you know why? If you preach this morning, you say, I don't know about this stuff. I don't know what the preacher's preaching. Listen, the people that have been saying amen and know exactly what I'm talking about is true is those that have already been wrapped in the blood of Jesus Christ. They've already had the garments of salvation placed upon them by a holy God. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can work up. It's not something you can go down to the hard store or order from Walmart. You can't even get it from Amazon. It is something that only comes. The one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that can give the garments of salvation. Listen, I can tell you, true happiness starts with salvation. Placing those things. And now, that's the beginning of knowing what I should pursue. It's the beginning of knowing what God wants me to do. The greatest day of my life was when I was not left to my own devices, but I got saved and the Holy Spirit of God dwelt inside my heart and soul and helped give me direction to pursue happiness in this life. You say, what makes you happy, preacher? Doing what the Bible says is right. Following the Lord and His plan for my life. He said, preacher, there's so much to it. Yeah, there's so much more to this life. But what about eternal life? What about what happens after this 70 years? The rest of eternity is going to make this look like a drop in the bucket. and everything that I've pursued and all that. Think about what's said in the next verse. I don't want to lose you. He goes on and he says, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. You can't be saved unless you are seen as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that garment of salvation is placed on you, God the Father, who is judging, will make the decision. It looks like just as if you never sinned because of what Jesus did, and he paid your sin debt. But I want you to see this. He says, as the bridegroom, look at what the verse says, as the bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Do you know that most of my life I was told, and as a child I've been taught and then studied the scripture, that there are crowns that can be earned for the Christian. And that winning a soul, and we could go through the different things, but there are different things. And once I receive the crown, then as I continue to do those good things that God hath ordered, that I can add jewels to my crown. And the bridegroom, he's adorned himself for the wedding, and he's coming back for the bride. And listen, he's going to gather us together, and he's going to let us meet with him, and we're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. And not judging our sin, because I'm clothed with the garments of salvation. I've been clothed in his righteousness, covered with those things. But I'm going to stand before the righteous judge, and he's going to see his bride. Each one of us that make up the church that are saved and on our way to heaven are the bride of Jesus Christ. And how does he want? Man, why do we work? That crown, we talk about casting crowns at his feet, but there is expectation, according to the scripture, that the bride shows up adorned with jewels. That I didn't just live this life for myself. I told other people about Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't take all your money to heaven. You can't take your house. The only thing you can take with you are your loved ones. The pursuit of greatness or good in this life is the pursuit of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. You can't take all the things of this life to heaven. But you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ doing right, living right, and being a witness unto him, are the jewels that will shine brightest when we stand before him and receive rewards. And I don't always like to think of myself as a bride. I started the whole message out and can't become a girl, okay? But when we put it in the perspective of the church and all of us as a body are the bride of Jesus Christ, I don't want our body, our church, to come there and be without the jewels that we ought to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. To not prepare ourselves and be adorned as a bride that loved our husband or the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you love him, you're going to tell people about him. If you love him, you're going to pursue happiness, not just for yourself, but for others. This life, I watch people wander through this life and they look for purpose. And the greatest purpose, even the founders of our country knew their purpose. And their purpose was to pursue happiness. And guess what the government was stamping out? Them being able to share the gospel clearly to everyone. They were jailing people. For all of us, we think, oh, they wouldn't have done that. Listen, he talks about a garden. What should I do today with it, preacher? For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden calls it. Listen, we ought to plant these things in our heart. It says that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Listen, the seed in this chapter is Israel. And Israel was here to leave and be a witness of Jesus Christ. And we as Christians in this church age, we're not Israel. They have their place. But in this age, we are the witness. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are supposed to be planting the seeds of righteousness and praise to our God in this age, that they might spring forth in all nations. Because one day there's going to be a day that Israel does that. They're going to be the ones, and we're going to be the bride, and we'll be with them, and they'll be the priestly nations telling all the other tribes. This is our opportunity. This is our day and age where we get to tell people about the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave us liberty to choose where we'll spend eternity, and that we ought to pursue happiness in this life. I can tell you right now, the happiest I've ever been in this life is when I told someone else what Jesus did for me, and I watched them accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I realize again what true happiness or true good in this life is. And that is just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best days, the best feeling, that sensation that you feel, is when someone accepts. Boy, doesn't it break your heart when you realize when they choose in their own life and liberty, instead of choosing eternal life, they choose eternal death. They choose hell. Listen, folks, it's not one or the other. You're not choosing some in-between place. It's one of those two things. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our founding fathers laid a foundation, and they realized it was all created by the Creator. They were all inalienable rights given to us, and for us, once we choose those things, the pursuit of happiness. You know that I've heard throughout, I don't know how many of you know this, but the first copy of the Declaration of Independence, that statement, life, liberty, and it didn't sound so poetic. It was the right to own property. And I don't know exactly who killed it, but before it got back to the Continental Congress, the Congress that was going to meet, it wasn't the wording. Because the purpose, listen, happiness in this life isn't owning land. Because you'll leave that purse of dirt one day, or you'll be buried in it. And what happens in eternity, I'm just going to tell you, for all of us today, the American dream is not just life and liberty to do whatever I want, to freedom, and to own land. It's the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of doing good according to the Scripture, according to God Almighty. And listen, every one of us today, listen, you know that there are people around the world that do not have the same opportunity to both have life, have liberty, and pursue happiness. None of them like we do. We sit here this morning, and I don't know who you are. Maybe you're saved. You've already accepted Jesus Christ, the life. You have eternal life. You have the liberty to choose, soul liberty, to choose to live for God or to live for yourself. And many of us have pursued not happiness and truth, but our own personal enjoyment, followed our own personal lust. You say, but you know what a blessing it is for God. You know, God is somebody who forgave us all our sins. We could come to the place today to say, you know what, this year, as our country approaches the 250-year mark, I'm going to choose to pursue happiness the Bible way, God's way. I'm going to seek the things of God and to do it God's way and be holy because God is holy. You say, preacher, is that going to make me happy? I can promise you this. You read that, I challenge you to go to the 1828 dictionary. That the idea is to do good without the worry of penalty, without the worry of pain. Do you know many of us, we pursue happiness and we know that there's going to be a payment for it. We know there's going to be pain at the end of it. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, the 4th of July passed, and you know I read so many posts, and every one of them, somebody was drinking in it. Somebody's thinking that the greatest thing we've been, you know, that they're the not long after the founders there was a group of people got together and banned that mess. They abolished people drinking because they knew it wasn't good for you. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that we did that. Why? Listen, I challenge you to go back and look. What is it about drinking? Well, the Bible says we ought not to. It's not good for you. I promise you this, it'll not bring you happiness. It only helps you drown your sorrows for a minute. True happiness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're without Him, I pray this, that you'd let us take a Bible and show you how you can put your faith and trust in the finished work. Jesus came from heaven, died on Calvary, and paid your sin debt. And if you put your personal faith, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that He hath raised from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Listen, all the founders that have accepted Jesus Christ that are in heaven, you know what? They want you to know more than they want you to know all of the all the things about them. They want you to know about Jesus. They want you to spend eternity in heaven. Their purpose was a higher purpose, not one just for civil government, but for a civil government that would protect the safety of Christians sharing their faith with others. The pursuit of happiness. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you, this invitation that we're about to have, we're going to invite you to come to the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. That life that's there, Jesus is the life, and the only way to receive eternal life is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Liberty is something that is given to you by God, and I pray today that you would use the freedom that you have today to choose eternal life over the second death or hell. Christian, if you're saved today, what have you been pursuing in this life? What is your purpose for being here? What are you trying to pursue to make you happy? There's only one pursuit, and that's good. That's what'll make us happy. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray this morning for those that would come. But if God spoke to your heart, while I pray, just step out and come to the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to be saved, if you need to speak to God, you can do that. Dear God, I pray this morning that people would follow you and do what you've asked them to do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you would do what I cannot do. You would draw men to Jesus Christ. As Brother Bert sings, I pray, God, that you draw them.